It is called internet.
I use the World Wide Web information superhighway.
Cybersecurity. Why do things go viral?
Click here.
About a week ago, we got a rare interview with the leader of one of the most prolific ransomware gangs in the world, Lockbit. He goes by the handle Lockbit Sub. And to hear him tell it, the morning of February 19th, he was doing some admin work to maintain the site when he noticed someone penetration testing his server. Basically, it looked like someone was trying to break into it. But, he says,
I didn't pay much attention to it because I had become very lazy.
He ignored that little voice in his head telling him something wasn't right. Because, in his words,
for the past 5 years, I have been swimming in money.
This isn't Lockbit's voice, but these are his words, translated from the original Russian. We tracked him down and confirmed through a few experts that it really was him we were talking to, and then convinced him to do an interview through an encrypted app. And when he talks about swimming in money, he's not exaggerating, at least not much. Because for the past 4 years, the Lockbit ransomware group has extorted thousands of victims around the world. They break into systems, lock them up, and steal information, and then demand a ransom to give it all back.
The group has hit hospitals,
schools, to high-profile global companies.
The German automotive giant Continental.
To Royal Mail Distribution Center to print copies.
And by all accounts, the Lockbit ransomware group had raked in millions of dollars in the process, which Lockbit Sub told us is where the problem started. With all that money, it made him take his eye off the ball.
I became very lazy, and I relaxed too much. I was on too many yachts with hot women.
We cleaned up his language a little bit there, but Lockbit Sub is essentially saying, what happens when you run a ransomware gang, hang out on too many yachts, and let your guard down? An international dragnet seizes your operation.
The Lockbit website said it was under law enforcement control.
Law enforcement agencies announced they've infiltrated and disrupted
Lockbit. Lockbit is not the first ransomware variant the Justice Department and its international partners have dismantled. It will not be the last.
From Recorded Future News, I'm Dina Temple-Raston, and this is Click Here, a podcast about all things cyber and intelligence. We tell true stories about the people making and breaking our digital world. And today, an exclusive interview with Lockbit Sub, the man behind one of the most dangerous ransomware as a service gangs in the world. He talks about the takedown.
I felt like I was being hunted, like they were trying to destroy me.
His effort to rebuild, and to hear him say it, how he turned all of this into an exercise in personal growth that sounds strangely like a pep talk from your high school track coach.
I take this as an opportunity to show everyone the strength of my character. I cannot be intimidated. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Adam Fleming from the Global Story podcast from the BBC World Service. We are looking at Lina Khan, the face of the US government's battle to regulate big tech. She's already redefined the way we talk about monopolies. Now she's taking on the likes of Amazon and Meta. But who is she, and will she win? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dina Temple-Raston. This is Click Here. Initially, the Lockbit ransomware gang had been a pretty marginal player in the cybercriminal universe, just another one of those Russian-speaking gangs finding vulnerable networks, locking them up, and then demanding millions to give them back. But in June of 2021, everything changed. The group unveiled a new version of its ransomware platform, something it called Lockbit 2.0. And it was a game changer because it turned complex ransomware attacks into something really simple, a point-and-click operation.
That's why Lockbit's so successful, because they have made it so easy. I literally showed it to my kids because I wanted them to see how easy it was, and they were able to understand it.
That's John DiMaggio. He's the chief security strategist at Analyst One. It's a threat intelligence company in Virginia. The Lockbit gang has a different business model than most ransomware operations. Sometimes they do the hacks themselves, but more often they rent or license software to other people, which they call affiliates, who want to make money. And John said Lockbit rose to prominence by offering this platform that made ransomware child's play.
It makes it much faster to go through an attack, and that's also why we've seen volume increase over the past couple of years with Lockbit, because the attacks are faster, because they're easier.
And when John saw this uptick, because he's a researcher, he decided to dig in and learn all he could about Lockbit. He created some personas, hung out in their chat rooms, and ended up, if not exactly befriending Lockbit sub, at least developing a relationship with him. Tell me about Lockbit sub. What kind of guy is he?
He's probably, you know, around my age, probably in his 40s.
John said they seemed to share generational references, which set Lockbit sub apart from all the younger hackers John had been studying.
His personality doesn't sort of fit the stereotype of a younger generation like a millennial. He's not as friendly. He doesn't make pop culture references and things of that nature. He's very direct.
Lockbit sub was all business.
He never wants to make jokes or have cool sort of water cooler talk like some of the other guys do.
Except for one thing.
He often uses cat stickers to respond.
Cat stickers, like emojis. When Lockbit doesn't like things,
sometimes he'll send an angry cat, and it always would make me laugh.
And Lockbit was known to dole out some kitty cat-inspired praise, too. When John got an award for a report he wrote about going undercover in the Lockbit chat rooms,
he sent me a happy face cat sticker, and then one with it blowing a kiss. And I was dying, because the guy is so serious. He's very negative, and it just doesn't fit the person that you see. But a lot of times, you know, an image sends a lot stronger message.
And it seems these cat emojis caught on. After law enforcement seized Lockbit's servers, they posted a message on the site. "Stay tuned," it said. "We're going to reveal Lockbit sub's identity here in a couple of days." And then they posted a countdown clock along with a little cat emoji. Who says the FBI doesn't have a sense of humor? Lockbit told us he thought it was pretty funny.
"It's cute. The FBI can't make me angry. I love the FBI. Without the FBI, my life wouldn't be as fun."
Of course, it wasn't supposed to be funny. The FBI's cat emojis were supposed to send a foreboding message.
Lockbit sub obviously will know what that means.
Like, we know exactly who you are, where you are, and have your communications.
Yes.
The FBI, if they do know who Lockbit is, haven't released his name publicly yet. And we, for our part, asked Lockbit why the cats, and he responded immediately.
"All people love cats."
And then he sent us a smiling cat emoji. We told Lockbit sub that we wanted to know what the takedown looked like from his perspective. And while we tried to cross-reference what he told us with our own law enforcement sources and researchers, this is still Lockbit sub's version of events. And we realize that leaders of ransomware gangs aren't always the most reliable of narrators. But there were some things we could confirm. For example, what happened when Lockbit tried to log in about 14 hours after he first suspected someone was rooting around in his system. He got an error message. Error 404, server not found. He tried typing in his password again. Nope. He typed a command to try to get a response from his server. That wasn't working either.
The site gave me a new error. I found out later that all the information on my hard drive had been erased.
When an international coalition of law enforcement agencies took down the LockBit platform, they replaced the homepage with a splash page, and it read, "The site is now under the control of law enforcement." LockBit saw a page with the logos from just about every law enforcement agency you could think of, and his heart sank.
The first thought that came to my mind was that my worst fears had come true. I thought that sooner or later the FBI would hack me.
Though he added, when he says FBI, he doesn't really mean just the FBI.
I mean all of their assistants.
I'm pretty sure they don't consider themselves assistants to the FBI, but he's talking about the Metropolitan Police in the UK, Europol, the Royal Mounted Police in Canada, the cyber team with the Dutch National Police, and the UK's National Crime Agency, sort of like Britain's FBI. They're the ones who announced the takedown.
Today, we can announce that the National Crime Agency has successfully infiltrated and fundamentally disrupted LockBit. Working as part of an international task force of 10 countries on Operation Cronus, we have hacked the hackers.
They confirmed what LockBit sup had feared. Law enforcement had seized LockBit's point-and-click panel, their bespoke infiltration tool, databases, decryption keys, even his source code. The irony in all of this seems to be lost on him. To us, it seemed like the FBI had turned the tables, that they were helping him experience firsthand what his victims felt every single day. An unexpected error message followed by the slow realization that something much, much worse was in the process of unfolding. But LockBit sup says we just don't understand.
I wasn't given a choice to pay a ransom. All they are trying to do is to destroy me. They're trying to inflict maximum reputational damage to stop me from continuing what I do. But it isn't going to work.
When we come back, LockBit sup says he's already staging a comeback.
After I figured out how they did it, I calmed down and began to work on restoring the infrastructure.
And he claims to have LockBit 3.0, a better, faster, more secure ransomware platform, already in the works. Though researchers who watch him are skeptical. Stay with us.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech Podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
When an enterprise gets hacked, there's a lot of backroom work to do. The IT team spreads out. They comb through servers. They look at logs to figure out how the hackers got in. And they need to determine what went wrong to make sure the hackers are gone. And for LockBit sup, it was no different. While it took him a few days of poking around, he thinks he knows how law enforcement slipped into his servers. They found a vulnerability in some software. LockBit said he had failed to patch it. Maybe he was distracted by counting all that money.
Due to my personal negligence and irresponsibility, I relaxed and did not update PHP in time.
He didn't update PHP. That stands for Hypertext Preprocessor. And all you need to know about it is that PHP helps create websites that are more tailored to individual users. To get that simplified point-and-click platform all those cybercriminals loved, he needed PHP to make it dynamic. LockBit said he thinks he was using an old version of it. Or, he said, maybe law enforcement knew about an unreported vulnerability.
It could have been a 0 day for PHP, but I can't be 100% sure.
Whatever the lapse was, it was a fateful mistake that was terrible for his business. When LockBit targets companies with ransomware, those companies usually make public pronouncements, mea culpas, tell people what happened. Typically, that's not how ransomware gangs respond after a raid. They usually hide or deny or bluster. But LockBit seems to see his work in a more corporate way. So once he figured out how law enforcement cracked into his servers, he put out a kind of press release, a 5-page single-spaced memo for the group's affiliate partners, warning them that they might be at risk too.
The problem doesn't just affect me. Anyone who has used a vulnerable version of PHP, keep in mind that your server may have been compromised.
And then he laid out what they all should do now.
Even if you updated your PHP version after reading this, it will not be enough.
They needed to change their host servers, change passwords, migrate everything. And don't worry, he told them. From here on out, I'm doubling down on protecting you.
I will stop being lazy and make it so that everything will be built with maximum protection.
The memo didn't say so explicitly, but it made clear that LockBit SUP was worried about losing something perhaps even more valuable than the ransomware platform. He didn't want to lose what made LockBit so great, the people who, over the years, helped him build and improve the operation. A lot of people assume it's LockBit SUP who's doing all that sophisticated coding, but it isn't always him.
Like, you know, with CEOs and legitimate companies, CEOs would be usually the ones who would be the public face of the company.
This is Yaroslav Bohuslavsky, and he's the co-founder of a cyber threat intelligence firm called RedSense. And he says that we should see LockBit SUP more as a CEO, a figurehead for LockBit, and not the guy who's actually operationalizing ideas.
The main misunderstanding, I think, is that the core danger, which is coming from LockBit, is not based in LockBit itself.
Yelisei says the damage LockBit ransomware does is often the work of outside specialists they hire. Like in most businesses, a lot of the great work gets done by people lower down in the org chart.
It's very similar how many businesses work in information security and particularly information technology. There is an engineer team who are really good with products, but they're not really good of, you know, talking to the market, and the two teams work together, you know, pushing the business forward.
So your contention is that LockBit is actually getting really good hackers in to do most of the heavy lifting, and then they sort of present it as their work?
Yes.
Which means, Yelisei says, while the takedown itself is significant, its ripple effects may be what have the most lasting impact. And LockBit SUP attracted all those great coders to help them build their software and affiliates to pay for it, not because he has lots of friends, but because LockBit had a great brand. LockBit had name recognition. It seemed to be anywhere, everywhere, all at once, cutting off gas pipelines, shutting down city governments, making hospitals postpone surgeries. So there was this intoxicating aura of impunity that came with it, a kind of Ferris Bueller, the rules don't apply to us vibe.
Hey, damn it. You realize if we played by the rules right now, we'd be in gym?
The February 19th takedown threatens to change all that.
And the brand is fundamentally damaged by the takedown.
So they had a good reputation, they had a nice logo, people knew who they were, and that even if all their infrastructure is able to be put back up, their brand is tarnished.
Yes.
All those affiliates and coders aren't waiting for the rebuild. They're shopping around, testing alternatives. It appears LockBit SUP knows this and is getting nervous. This may be why he recently put up a rinky-dink homepage that announced 5 companies he'd hacked.
I was trying to show that the FBI is not omnipotent. They just found a weak spot and struck. I published the information just to show that the FBI was able to completely destroy everything.
It made it look like in some small way, LockBit was back. Except for one thing.
We knew that those entities, their data was compromised in end of January and beginning of February.
In other words, those companies LockBit SUP put on his new site had been compromised before the takedown. These weren't new attacks. These were old ones.
Big proportion of those claims were just a fake. They're trying to fake the recoverer. They're putting this out.
Though it does seem to have fooled some people. There's an informal ranking of ransomware groups based on how many attacks they've done, and Lockbit topped it yet again this month. Yelisei says people on the dark side of the ransomware community know this is all a head fake. And more broadly, it's hard to say whether Lockbit's SUP will succeed in recreating what he's lost. He's being forced to rebuild the whole enterprise mostly from scratch, probably leaning on some Russian-based coders to help him do that. And you might think, if you're a hacker in Russia, it's a great gig that you'll keep forever.
You know, there is this mythology that the Russian-speaking actors, they resign in safe havens, safe jurisdictions. I don't think this is true, first of all, because quite a few of them don't resign in Russia. But secondly, how is Russia a safe jurisdiction? The country is in war, so I'm not sure anyone really wants to stay in Russia or Ukraine or Belarus that much and continue this activity.
A rational life choice for Lockbit's coders, he said, would be to pack it in.
To just quit and go to some neutral country and not do any cybercrime-related activity and just leave them the money that they were able to make in the last 5 years instead of performing new attacks.
We asked Lockbit if that kind of rational life choice might be in the cards for him, and he waved off the very suggestion.
I plan to continue working until my death. I don't have a goal for a year or for 5 years. My only goal in life is to attack 1 million companies around the world and go down in human history as the most destructive affiliate program. Once I reach 1 million businesses on my lake site, I will retire forever.
In our last correspondence with him, Lockbit's SUP seemed to drop his guard a little bit. Let's pet our cats and continue our business, he wrote. And then he followed that with a happy cat emoji. This is Click Here. Here are some of the top cyber and intelligence stories of the past week.
I understand the technology. It's a great business, and I'm going to put together a group to buy TikTok.
You're trying to buy TikTok.
I am.
Former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says he wants to buy TikTok. Mnuchin's announcement came on the heels of a House vote on legislation that would require the Chinese company's parent, ByteDance, to sell off the app or face regulations that would essentially ban it from the app stores in this country. Mnuchin says he's already talking to possible investors.
I've spoken to a bunch of people, but...
Who would be part of your group?
I can't tell that to you now.
The bill is far from being a done deal, though. It faces opposition in the Senate. President Biden said if it did get to his desk, he'd sign it into law. Critics say that TikTok presents national security concerns because China ultimately controls it and could, among other things, mine it for personal data or use it to steer political discourse in this country. Also last week, according to the Prime Minister's office, France has been on the receiving end of an unprecedented intensity of cyber attacks. They haven't confirmed what kind of attack it was, though it looks like it might have been one of the most basic, a DDoS or distributed denial of service attack, which inundates servers with so many requests that they essentially shut down. And finally, a federal court in Nigeria has ordered the cryptocurrency exchange Binance to provide its Economic and Financial Crimes Commission with information on all the Nigerians who are using its trading platform. The court order comes as Nigeria continues to detain two of the exchange's employees.
These two officials who are being held are essentially functioning as leverage because Nigeria...
The first is American Tigran Gambarian, a former IRS agent who specializes in cryptocurrency tracking. And the second is a UK-Kenya citizen named Nadim Ajawala. He's the company's Kenya-based regional manager for Africa.
Neither of these employees has been charged. And interestingly, neither really has any decision-making power. So I will say...
According to people familiar with the situation, the two men are being held in a government compound where they're only allowed to use their phones to contact lawyers and their families. Mm-hmm.
Today's episode was produced by Sean Powers, Kat Shuknecht, and me, Jade Abdul-Malik. It was edited by Karen Duffin, fact-checked by Darren Ankrum, and contains original music by Ben Livingston, with some other music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our staff writer is Lucas Riley, and our illustrator is Megan Goff. Click Here is a production of Recorded Future News. Tune in on Friday for Mic Drop, which features our favorite interview of the week. And we'll have a new episode of Click Here on Tuesday. See you then.
Looking for more of the cybersecurity and intelligence coverage you get on Click Here? Then check out our sister publication, The Record, from Recorded Future News. You'll get breaking cyber news from reporters in New York, Washington, London, and Kyiv, among others. And you'll see for yourself why it attracts hundreds of thousands of page views every month. Just go to therecord.media.